The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. When Jesus returned to Capernaum after some days, it became known that he was at home. Many gathered together so that there was no longer room for them, not even around the door, and he preached the word to them. They came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. Unable to get near Jesus because of the crowd, they opened up the roof above him. After they'd broken through, they let down the mat on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to them, "Child, your sins are forgiven." Now, some of the scribes were sitting there asking themselves, "Why does this man speak that way? He is blaspheming. Who but God alone can forgive sins?" Jesus immediately knew in his mind what they were thinking to themselves, and so he said, "Why are you thinking such things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, pick up your mat and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins on earth," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, pick up your mat, and go home." He rose, picked up his mat at once, and went away in the sight of everyone. They were all astounded and glorified God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Three tiny little thoughts for you here today, because there's lots going on in this little passage. Let me tell you three things, okay? Three things. First of all, I'm going to tell you what this is like from the point of view of the Israelites. Second of all, I'm going to tell you what this means from the point of view of these four friends who brought the paralytic man to Jesus. And then last thing I want to say is what this means for all of us, okay? So there's so much going on here. First of all, the Israelites. Did you know that the Israelites had a belief that if you were disabled, maybe you were blind, maybe you were paralyzed, maybe you had leprosy. If you were disabled, the reason why you were disabled was because somebody somewhere committed a sin. That's what they believed. Maybe you committed a sin. Maybe your dad committed a sin. Maybe one of your ancestors back along the years committed a sin, but they believed one thing was for absolute sure. The only reason this guy couldn't walk was because somebody somewhere committed a sin. Now, that's why Jesus says, first and foremost, your sins are forgiven. Now, this upsets the Israelites. Why does it upset the Israelites that Jesus says your sins are forgiven? Why? Because who can forgive sins? Only God can forgive sins. Let me try to explain. Let's pretend like we're not talking about sins here for a moment. Let's pretend rather like we're talking about Father Barnes' car, okay? Let's pretend like I borrow Father Barnes' car. Let's pretend like I crash Father Barnes' car. Let's pretend like Father Barnes is really mad at me for crashing his car. Now, furthermore, let's pretend like, oh, I don't know, Mrs. O'Malley comes along and says, "Oh, don't worry about it, Father Barnes forgives you." Can she say that? No. Who's the only one who can forgive me for crashing his car? Father Barnes is the only one who can forgive me for... So who's the only one who can forgive a sin? You gotta be God alone. So that's why Jesus says, "Oh yeah, you think it's easy to say your first sins are forgiven? Watch this. Pick up your mat and go home." And the fact that the guy goes home and can walk, what does that prove? That proves that his sins are forgiven. And if his sins are forgiven, who does that prove that Jesus is? That proves he's really God. That's the most important thing that he wanted to say. That's from the Israelites' point of view. Now from the point of view of these four friends. Why'd these four guys bring their friend to Jesus? What did they want? Did they want his sins to be forgiven? No. They wanted him to be healed. So when this poor man gets lowered down in the middle of Jesus and he says, "Your sins are forgiven," they think to themselves, "Wait a minute, we didn't bring him here for that. We wanted a miracle." Did they get a miracle? Yes. And here's one of the most important lessons. God always gives you more than you ask when you go to Him. Always gives you more, but sometimes you got to be just a little bit patient. That's another little thought we can take away from this. But here's the third. Here's the third. The third idea is that nobody ever goes to Jesus alone. Whenever you go, you always bring others along with you. Do you know that? You know, nobody goes to heaven alone. Whenever you go to heaven, you bring other people. Lots and lots of friends come along with you. Unfortunately, the reverse is also the case. Nobody goes to hell alone either. When we go down, we take lots of people down with us. This raises a real important question. What kind of a friend do you want to be? Do you want to be the kind of friend who lifts other people up? Or are you the kind who brings other people down? One of the most important things that you learn here is that real friends bring each other to the Lord. You know, some friendships are really shallow. Really, really shallow. For example, I knew a friend back in school, and everybody wanted to be his friend because he had the best video game system in the whole school. And everybody wanted to go to his house and play his video game system. But did they care about him? No. They only cared about what he owned. Very shallow. I know the story of a young lady in Hollywood. She was famous. She was a star because she was young and she was beautiful. But then she lost her youthful good looks and nobody wanted to have anything to do with her anymore. And they threw her away like an old rapper after consuming a product. Did they care about her? No. Very, very shallow. The deepest friendships we have are the ones that are rooted in God. The deepest friendships we have are the ones that bring other people to the Lord. This is very, very important. Did you know that some people won't go to Jesus? Some people won't come to church. But you can bring them. You can bring them by becoming a closer friend of God yourself. Because every time you do, you bring other people along with you. You might not even have to say a word. You might not even have to quote a Bible verse. It'll just be who you are. It'll just radiate out of who you are. And people will draw closer to God just because you're a good example. And how do you do that? You offer a prayer. You try to do an act of charity. Maybe you go to confession. You know, I heard this said once. Every time somebody receives the Eucharist well, there's a blessing that happens to every single person in the entire world. Nobody ever goes to God alone. And that's something very, very important for all of us to remember. Just a few little thoughts here from this gospel, right? Just a few little thoughts here from this gospel. These four friends brought their friend to Jesus Christ. Let's you and I do the same, one little step at a time, beginning right now. Amen.